Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Isaiah 38, the verses 9 to 15. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 38, verse 9 to 15. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. I said, in the prime of my life must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years. I said, I will not again see the Lord himself in the land of the living. No longer will I look on my fellow man or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. And he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion he broke all my bones. Day and night you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or thrush. I mourned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am being threatened, Lord, come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. My theme for reflection is when the clock ticks backwards. When the clock ticks backwards, learning to live again. I once read a humorous sign in a clockmaker's shop that said, "We repair everything but broken time." It made me laugh, but also think. Time, after all, is the one thing we never seem to have enough of, and the one thing we can't fix when it is slipping away. That was exactly King Hezekiah's predicament in Isaiah 38. A ticking clock, a death sentence, and then a miracle that turned time backwards. Hezekiah's reflection in Isaiah 38:9-15 is a hauntingly beautiful lament that turns into praise. He had been told by the prophet Isaiah, "Set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." The finality of those words struck him like a thunderbolt. Here was a faithful king, devout, reform-minded, and deeply conscious of God's laws, suddenly staring into the abyss. "In the noontime of my days," he cries, "I must depart. I am deprived of the rest of my years." He speaks of his life being rolled up like a tent and cut off from the loom. It is raw, human, and painfully honest. Hezekiah doesn't pretend to be stoic. He weeps bitterly. And that is the first truth this passage teaches us. Even the righteous are not exempt from suffering. Faith is not a shield against sickness or sorrow. It is the strength to face them honestly. Hezekiah's tears remind us that lament is not a lack of faith. It is faith that refuses to lie. In a world obsessed with performance and positivity, his cry gives permission to every believer to say, "Lord, I am hurting." But the story does not end in lament. Hezekiah prays and God listens. In one of the most astonishing moments in Scripture, God instructs Isaiah to tell the king, quote, "I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life." Even more so, as a sign of his faithfulness, God makes the shadow on the sundial move backwards. Time, for a moment, runs in reverse. The God who made time bends it to show mercy. The miracle here is not just the extension of Hezekiah's life. It is the restoration of his hope. In his song of thanksgiving, he realizes that God's mercy was not merely about prolonging his days, but about deepening his faith. Surely it was for my benefit, he says, that I suffered such anguish. Pain, seen through the lens of grace, becomes a teacher. Hezekiah's gratitude also reveals a second truth. Prayer is not about changing God's mind, but aligning our hearts with his compassion. God's response is swift, but it is not mechanical. It flows from relationship, from the honest cry of a heart that trusts. Hezekiah's clear conscience before God allowed him to pray boldly, not because he thought he deserved healing, but because he knew the character of the one he prayed to. In this way, Hezekiah's experience becomes a mirror for ours. We all face moments when our mortality becomes unavoidably real, a diagnosis, a crisis, a loss. And yet, the same God who turned back the clock for Hezekiah still enters our timelines with mercy. Sometimes he heals the body, other times he heals the heart, but always he listens. But what about us? Where are we standing right now? Are you like Hezekiah facing a wall with no visible way forward? Are there prayers you have whispered in the dark that still seem unanswered? What words have you been issuing to God lately? Words of confusion, fatigue, maybe even resignation? Or have you stopped speaking altogether, unsure of what to say? How are you coping with the weight of your days? Are you throwing yourself into distractions, numbing the ache, or pretending everything is fine because you feel like you have to? Have your questions about your situation grown louder than your faith in God's nearness? And if that is where you are, what does Hezekiah's story have to say to you? Charles Taylor once observed that to live without hope is to cease to live humanly. Hezekiah's story is a divine protest against hopelessness. It insists that no verdict is final when God is involved. It reminds us that the ticking clock of our lives belongs to a God who not only numbers our days, but redeems them. So what can we learn from this text? It means your tears are not wasted. It means your voice still matters in heaven even when it cracks. It means your time, however short or uncertain, is sacred when lived with open hands and a grateful heart. It means the church must be more than a place of polished answers. We must be a people where comfort flows freely. Are we creating spaces where others can bring their grief without fear of judgment? Can we celebrate mercy without pride, remembering how much we've been shown? In a world addicted to comparison and success, what if we practiced hope like it was as natural as breathing? Because when we comfort one another, we echo the mercy that met Hezekiah. And while our clocks may not literally turn back, every act of forgiveness, every shared prayer, every gesture of compassion rewinds something deeper. Decay gives way to renewal. Despair makes room for life. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, when was the last time you were truly honest with God about your fears or pain? What might change if you prayed as Hezekiah did, with tears instead of titles? Number two, how can you become an instrument of God's comfort to someone whose clock seems to be running out? And now our practical exercise. Reach out to one person who is unwell, grieving or discouraged. Call them, pray with them, or simply listen. Let your presence remind them that God still bends time for mercy. Father of compassion and God of all comfort, thank you that you hear our cries and see our tears. When our days feel numbered and our hope runs thin, teach us to trust that you still hold time in your hands. Renew our hearts with gratitude for the life and mercy you give us. Help us to be channels of your comfort to others so that through us your hope may come alive again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.